turn things over to your first presenter, again, Laura Coughlin, who's joining you from EPA's Office of Resource Conservation and Recovery. Laura, whenever you're ready to begin, please do. And
hi.
Laura, I can hear you. Thank you.
Welcome to transitioning to electronic filing at the border, and thank you all for joining us. I'm having trouble. Here we go. As the title suggests, we are in a transition period. As of December 31st, 2016, we started the transition period. We are moving from paper border processes to electronic border processes for individual shipments that are subject to the import requirements, both as part of the CRT rule, if you are exporting conditionally excluded CRTs for recycling, and for all other hazardous waste, universal waste, and slab shipments that are subject to the export requirements at 40 CFR Part 262, Subpart H. Under the old paper process, which many of you may still be doing, you were required to attach paper documentation of consent to the RCRA manifest or shipping papers, and that would be either the acknowledgement of consent letter under the old Subpart E or the movement document under the old Subpart H. You were to provide the transporter with an additional copy and instruct the transporter to deliver, to sign and date the manifest at the time of departure from the United States when it was about to cross the border, and to give a copy of that signed and dated manifest to the U.S. Customs official at the point the shipment was leaving the United States, i.e. a border crossing along the U.S.-Canada or U.S.-Mexico border, or one of the ports along the Atlantic, Gulf Coast, or Pacific Coast. Under the new process, you will instead submit consent-related information as part of your electronic export information under the automated export system known as AES or AES Direct. And we have required that entry of consent information under the electronic process in our own regulations. It is also in accordance with the census regulations in 15 CFR 30.6. And as we've stated in previous webinars, that the AOC letter is the equivalent of an export license. And as such, exporters are required to submit EEIs for each export shipment, regardless of shipment value or destination country. So each and every shipment that is subject to RCRA consent is required under current census regulations to file EEIs for those shipments, regardless of value or destination country. With that, I will turn it over to Roy.
All right, so I'm going to give just a sort of taste of where we are now and where we've come from. This has been live, actually, in the automated export system now for several years. And we're sort of tracking how many people are doing export filings each year. And we've had a little over 40,000 to date, primarily from just six exporters. So these guys are moving, you know, hundreds of shipments a week. And so as you can see in this slide, each month we're getting about 1,900 shipments. And we expect that's about not quite half of the volume that we expect, and that's only from six exporters. So we need all of you guys to that aren't currently filing looking at filing. And so there are different things you can do during the transition process. But we expect you to actually give it a try, and to work with us to do that. We want you to try testing first, just to see if there's going to be any errors or not. And here's what simply happens. Instead of having this paper acknowledgement of consent letter that accompanies the shipment, and having the shipment stopped at the port, and having customs actually look at that piece of paper, when you file an AES, this handful of data elements, and you're going to see that here in just a moment, the system automatically checks against the consent number and other data that we've given to customs on a regular basis. And if it all matches up, the shipment is automatically given a tracking number to exit the country and doesn't really have to stop and be checked out by the customs officer. They will check to make sure it's got a number, but that's done in their system pretty much ahead of time. And they can also do it, I guess, at the time the truck is actually running through the port, but it's much, much faster. So that's really the huge advantage. The downside is if you didn't file something correctly, like you did a typo on your consent number, it'll actually not give that tracking number, and your shipment will not be allowed to leave the port. So that we always urge people to file early, so that if there are any issues, that you could certainly get hold of us. So I think that's the main point is do some testing with us first before you try it. Make sure all works. And then once it does, then look at it going live for all your shipments. And I cannot advance to the next slide. Here, hold it. Let me try this. There we go. Oops, I already did. So I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Beth, who's actually going to talk about the data that gets filed.
Good afternoon. So I just want to take a little bit of time here to walk through sort of the nuts and bolts of the five extra data elements on the PGA line related to the EPA hazardous waste export filing. So essentially the first one is simply an indicator. It's a Y that indicates you're providing EPA data. So you have this license information, this acknowledgement of consent, and you're going to be providing it. The second piece of information is in a lot of ways the most critical. It's the consent number from your acknowledgement of consent. It includes the waste stream number, and it needs to be provided in a very specific format, which will require a slight bit of transformation for you. So if you're used to seeing the consent number in the format that we have here with a number and a slash and then alphanumeric combination and another slash before the final number, we have to convert that a little bit for the system so we can read it. So what you want to do is remove both of these slashes and the number in between in front of the E comes out. And then the waste stream, which in this case is the 001, is going to be appended onto the end without the period. So all the special characters and the number in the center will be removed, and your new format for filing electronically is provided with just the beginning number, the letter, the final number, and then the waste stream. And that's all together, no spaces. So that's really important when you enter it. If you try to enter it in a different format, you will not receive your ITN, and that will hold up the processing. The next piece of information is going to be optional, conditionally required. So the RCRA Hazardous Waste Manifest Tracking Number is going to be conditionally required when the waste is required to be RCRA manifested, not CBP manifested. So what you want to do is have that number off of the OMB form 8722 and provide it in the manner it is given here. So it's just a straightforward RCRA manifest number, and these are filed, again, within one record set. So the next item is also conditionally required, and it is the EPA net quantity unit of measure. When your CL1 and CL2 quantities are not in weight and volume, meaning they're in counts or numbers, and they're not a weight or volume unit, you will be required to provide a quantity unit of measure that is either in kilograms for solid waste or liters for liquid and sludge waste. In addition to the unit of measure, as you can imagine, the EPA net quantity itself would be provided, and conditionally the same requirements as above. So as long as your CL1, CL2 are not a weight or volume, you do not have a weight or volume in either one of those, then you'll need to provide the quantity in kilograms or the quantity in liters. So again, the first two items, the license required indicator and the consent number, are mandatory elements when you're filing for EPA. The next three are conditionally required based on what you are using in terms of CL1 and CL2, which are dictated by your HTS or Schedule B. So the next thing we want to talk about is, okay, so I've gathered all my information. I've made sure I have my AOC consent number. I have my RCRA manifest number, and I know my quantities. How do I submit them? The EDI format is laid out on a single line. It's very straightforward. The license required indicator comes first. Then immediately followed, there are no spaces on this record, immediately followed by the EPA consent number, which is immediately followed by the RCRA hazardous waste manifest tracking number, and then the quantity unit of measure, and finally the EPA net quantity. So again, the PGA line is one PGA record. I will mention here, this should be programmed in as well. The EP1 is just the indicator for the EPA on your PGA. If you have more than one PGA record, as you know, you need to provide the agency code, and in this case, the agency code is EP1. So again, this is the EDI format. The X12 format is going to look very much the same. You have your EP1 as your PGA program code, and the information is provided in the same manner without any kind of line or differentiation between, no space or any separators between the license required information, the consent number, the manifest tracking number, the EPA net quantity, unit of measure, and quantity. There is full information in the ASTEER guidance for how to submit this information. We're just highlighting it here, but the records have been published in the ASTEER for, I think, 2 years now. So that information should be available to you there as well. Finally, the AES Direct. So when you're filing via AES Direct, which some of you may be using, you will want to make sure that for your line details, you have the option at the very bottom that does this filing require participating government agency data. If you're filing your EPA consent number and data, you need to make sure that you check yes on this line detail screen. That will give you the option to complete the screens that have the EPA data on them. So again, this is for line one. So if you're in your line detail screen, you would provide the yes for the PGA agency data, and it will allow you to move on and submit the agency data. For the agency, you want to make sure that you are selecting EPA as the agency you're providing the information for. Is the EPA data required? Yes, this is simply the Y that we were seeing on the other screens for the AES X12 and EDI format. Your EPA consent number gets entered in, still using the same format. Again, you will, the data transformation in the format is exactly the same in AES Direct as it is for the others. So you want to follow the same alphanumeric format, your RCRA tracking number, your net quantity. There are leading zeros here, obviously, and your net quantity unit of measure. The AES Direct guide explains this further, and there is a link in the presentation. So when you download that later or receive that as follow-up, you can follow the AES Direct user guide as well. So those are the three methods of providing EPA data. And Roy, if you are there, I will turn it over to you for this final review of the different roles.
Okay, great. Thanks, Beth. So it's really important that the three key parties really work together. So the exporter is responsible for making sure that those data elements that Beth mentioned, that data is provided to the broker who's doing the filing. And the broker really needs to test to make sure they know how to use that, get that information and fill it into the software provider's software. And really that gets back to the fact that the software provider has actually developed the screens that you would use in order to do that filing. There is a website that Customs has called AES Direct that you can use that Beth went over. But in general, if you are using a broker that has software, you know, it's really important that all three parties work together. And I think that's the main thing I wanted to point out. So with that, I will turn it over. Oh, and there are, if you do have questions, you can contact me if you want to do testing, me or Beth. And if you are filing you can contact me, Beth, and Laura if there are any issues when you do file. So I think with that, I want to turn it over to questions. And so, Laura, you are, or Jean, your moderator, to look at questions.
Yep. We have a question from Andrea asking if the net quantity is the amount for the entire notice or just the specific load. Andrea, it is the volume for that specific load, for that specific waste in that specific load, and it should not include, if it's in units of weight, it should not include the weight of the containers themselves. It's supposed to be a net quantity, so it should not include the weight of the barrel or other packaging materials. Are there any other questions? Have we done such a great job in answering them?
So I'll just remind everyone, you can send in your questions and comments using that Q&A window in the lower right corner of your screen. We will continue to wait here for just a few moments.
Well, I have a challenge. I have a challenge for everybody on the call to send me when in the month of June you want to get started testing.
Ah, all right, excellent. So Roy has asked a question. When in the month of June would you like to get started with testing? You can type your answer in to the Q&A window, and Roy will start to look for those. Again, if you're still typing.
And I will point out to people, we've experienced this on other programs. If you wait till November or December before this is mandatory and the transition period is ending, we may or may not be able to provide one-on-one assistance. So I would urge you to start sooner than later.
Yeah. And Roy, we have a question from Kathy prior to the testing question asking, what does X12 stand for?
Well, I'll give a shot at it. X12 is actually a data standard that some software providers use for submitting the file in, and it's a data definition and transport standard. I would say the majority of people use the standard electronic data interchange format that Beth mentioned, but we discuss both in case someone uses X12.
Okay, and I will say that we are getting some responses to your question. Lisa says she wants to start next week.
All right.
Says I'm assuming that's June 9th. Shalitha says June 28th. Christina asks, testing the system is done by the broker and not the exporter, right?
That is right, but they need information from the exporter. So get your broker contact info to me.
Kathy asked, any estimate on when the AES will be mandatory? We expect that the compliance date will be no later than December 31st, 2017. So this year is the transition year. Next year, we won't be transitioning. Electronic will be required.
And only electronic, right, Laura?
And only electronic, yes, that is exactly right. Yesenia asks, we need to be filing the info each month or at the end of the year? No, actually, this is shipment by shipment. And there are specific timing requirements depending on the mode of transport you are using. And that is in the 15 CFR 30 regulations. That's not EPA timing requirements. That is census timing requirements.
So there is
by shipment.
So in addition to the requirement, there's actually a benefit. And the benefit is we get a lot of this transactional data out of AES, and we use it over at EPA to help generate a draft annual report for all you export filers so that you don't have to create one from scratch. So the sooner you do this, the better. It can actually help with the amount of work you have to do on your annual report.
Yeah, the annual report, just as a reminder, is due by March 1st of each year. And in EPA's waste import-export tracking system, there currently is the ability to submit such reports electronically, and it will build it off of your export notices, you know, what you've got consent to ship. It'll build a draft report, and then you have to enter the number of shipments and the total quantity that was shipped over the previous calendar year for each one of those wastes under consent. But as Roy said, if you start to use the electronic system, those quantities get sent back to EPA from AES. It goes into the WEET system and will be used to, will be compiled during the year. So that at the end of the calendar year, if you've done 100% electronic filing, you should have all those quantities reflected in your draft annual report, and then you just need to review it and make any corrections to note rejections or corrected waste measurements that weren't reflected in your EEI filing. So it can be a significant help to you. April asked, what happens for shipments of universal waste? They would not have a U.S. manifest. You're absolutely correct. But they are still required to file an AES because they are still required to have consent. So you would not be required to enter the manifest number because you don't have a manifest. So you'd have to work out the spacing on the EDI or X12. But we send reference data to AES, and that reference data is linked to the waste level consent number, and it informs AES of the country of final, you know, the final destination country that you're sending it to, that you have consent to ship to. It also lists the start date and end date for your consent, so that if your consent ends on June 1st, you will not get an ITN if you say you are departing on June 30th because it will be outside the consent window. And it also includes a yes-no field letting AES know whether that specific waste stream under that specific consent is required to be manifested or not. And so if If it's universal waste, that reference data will reflect a no. And for AES Direct, you wouldn't be required to enter a manifest tracking number. But if it was, let's say, spent catalysts, K171, K172, you would be required to manifest that, and you would be you wouldn't get an ITN number unless you entered a correctly formatted manifest tracking number.
And Laura, I'm going to jump in here. I want to thank everybody for getting on the phone, and those of you that are raising your hands and giving us your email to get going, really look forward to it. I unfortunately have to hop off right now. I'm leading another call with somebody trying to do imports.
Well, and we're at the end of our time, really. So for those of you who have sent in what time you want to work with Roy, thank you. We'll follow up on the questions that we haven't had time to address after the end of this webinar. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jean.
All right. Thank you so very much. We'll walk through just a quick reminder before we close things out for today's broadcast. As we stated at the start of today's session, the materials, including the presentations, as well as other related resources, have been pulled together on the seminar resources or links page. You can find that on the middle right of your screen under related URLs. For those of you who happen to be one of the lucky ones replaying today's webinar, those links will still work, so you simply need to click through that list, select seminar resources, and press the Browse To button to open them up on your own computer. If you're looking for contact information for our presenters, you'll also find that on the seminar homepage, as mentioned earlier today. I will ask if each of you could take just a short moment and fill out our online feedback form to let us know what you thought of today's delivery, both in terms of content and the mechanism that we use to offer it. For those of you who would like to have a copy or a certificate for joining us for today, when you fill out the online feedback form, there's a box you can check at the bottom to certify you were here for the whole session. And as soon as you check that box and send in your feedback, you'll have access to a PDF copy of a participation certificate that you can either download or print for your own records. If you happen to participate in a group, each person can share their own feedback and get their own copy of one of those certificates. So with that, I want to thank the nearly 70 individuals who joined us from all over the U.S. for today's broadcast, as well as our presenters. We did record today's webinar, and we'll be able to send you all an archive copy to play back on demand shortly, so keep your eyes peeled for an email on that in the future. With that, we'll go ahead and formally conclude today's live broadcast. Thank you so very much.